God's pretty good, isn't he? Now, I always like to say that, and I just kind of fill everybody out when you say God is good. And you see a lot of people going, yes, he is. And you see some people, I think that he is. And then there's some, they're just not sure in this moment. And you know what? That's part of being a human, that we go through these moments. And some are tougher than others, but constantly what's before us is the greatness of God. And I'm going to share with you a real special message tonight out of Luke chapter 17. And we're just going to kind of look at this together. It's an intriguing passage. It conjures up a lot of human feeling and emotion in our response to what the Word says here. But just want to take a look at this. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Right away, if you know a little bit about the culture and the history, you know that this was a very difficult relationship. The Jews, it's not strong enough to say that they didn't like the Samaritans, but they hated the Samaritans. And likewise, the Samaritans hated the Jews. And there are several stories throughout the Gospels where this is kind of highlighted, the ethnicity of the individual or of the group, because it goes to a deeper cause. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When we think of leprosy, we think of an old-time, long ago disease. And to have leprosy was just a horrific experience. One of the things the leprosy would do is it would basically eat away at the cartilage around the septum in the nose. And one of the first things that would happen to somebody with leprosy is they'd lose a sense of smell. And literally, this disease was so horrific that body parts would rot off. And so in this time, they used these terms, ritually clean and ritually unclean. And there were different reasons why you would be ritually unclean, but you could partake of a ceremony and be proclaimed ritually clean, which means you could enter the temple. You could be in relationship with people. But if you had leprosy, you were forever not just ritually unclean, but you were socially unclean. And so to have leprosy was such an incredibly painful experience, not just in body. You know, when you and I are sick, no matter the degree of pain that we experience, we're with comforters. We're with people who look after us. And so if you've ever been to the hospital while you've been at Hillview Heights Church, somebody's been to see you. I mean, I dare say anybody could really say that they were in the hospital and nobody from Hillview came. The only way that happens is you didn't tell anybody you were in the hospital. And we have a lot of people that get very upset because nobody came to the hospital when they didn't tell anybody that they were in the hospital. And so, you know, we're not mind readers. We'd love to come see you at the hospital if you go, but you got to tell somebody. If you had leprosy, however, you were ostracized from the entire social going-ons of the time. If you were walking down the street and you had leprosy and somebody else was coming, you would have to cross the street because you weren't allowed to be that close to people. If you even notice in the passage, it says that as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy were there. And what did they do? They stood at a distance because that's what you had to do. They weren't allowed to worship in a ritual kind of way, meaning they couldn't even enter the temple. I mean, think about that. That you couldn't even go to church because of this illness. You know, a place who claims to be, you know, we say it all the time here at Hillview, hey, we're a place for all people. I remember one time I was teaching, and we just had this incredibly disruptive person in the class. And I got so upset about it, you know, and I'm trying to teach, and it was awful. And it finally escalates into kind of a verbal confrontation in front of the whole class. And I finally just have to say, you just need to get out. You just need to leave. And, you know, and some people in the class probably wanted to applaud. Others were probably appalled. And so this person, with the help of somebody else, goes out of the class, and it was just really difficult. And I had just made up my mind, that person's not going to be able to come back to this class. So the next week, I went to the class. That person wasn't there, not because they hadn't been asked to come, but I just got up before the class, and my heart was so burdened. And I was almost at a point of tears, and I just said, you know, we can't claim to be a place for all people and then not embrace all people. I told the class, I said, you know, we're not going to kick this person out of the class. We're just going to just really pray and just really seek God's face. You know, I don't know everything about that person's life. And who knows, maybe they've been kicked out of everything their whole life, including their family. And I thought, there is a class. You know, how do we conduct ourselves like that? How do we say we're a place for all people? And then do that. And I'm gonna tell you, I struggled with it. It was really hard. And I had 35 really great reasons why that person shouldn't be allowed to come back. But they paled in comparison to the one reason why they should be able to. And that's because of the greatness of God. And whatever was going on in that person's life in that moment was certainly no worse than the lowest moments of my life. And I have to be really honest, in my lowest moments, nobody kicked me out. And there was always somebody there with a loving embrace and an encouraging word, a challenging word, but love nonetheless. And so you get in precarious positions, you know, in the ministry, because if you're going to be a place for all people, guess what? If you're really a place for all people, all kinds of people come. And we pray for the grace of God. We pray for the wisdom of the ancients to know how to deal with that. And it's really difficult. And right here in this passage is just this incredible moment where these 10 lepers, they're on the side of the road. They're in their proper place because they weren't touching other people. They weren't in the midst of the crowd. They were in their proper place. And I can't imagine what they might have looked like, what they might have smelled like. But it was obvious that these were 10 lepers. And I love what the Bible says here, that they called out in a loud voice. You know why they called out in a loud voice? I think possibly desperation. But I think just physically, they were at a distance. Because that's where they were supposed to be. That's where they were expected to be. You know, it's fine if you are around, but just be at a distance. And so there's this incredible moment where they cry out to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Can you imagine the hope of a leper who hears that Jesus is coming to town? Because about all they had heard about Jesus is that this guy was healing sick people. And so these lepers hear that he's coming. And so maybe more than ever, they're not just standing back in the shadows of society, but they inch up into the sunlight where they can be seen and smelled and all those things. And they get a glimpse of Jesus. And the Bible just says they cry out, Jesus, Master. And that word in the Greek for master is the same word that's used for rabbi. And there was an acknowledgement from these lepers that this Jesus man, he could do more for them than just to say hello, but that he could change their lives forever. We don't know the ages of the lepers. Most likely they're adults. And so they cry out in a loud voice. Now listen to this. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. It was akin to the ritual cleansing, because only a priest could tell you that you were now ritually clean. Only a priest could tell you that. And so Jesus says to these lepers who aren't even allowed to enter the temple, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. Can you imagine? Live in a life, even if it's just 20 years or 30 or 40 years, and all those years being afflicted,
being an outcast of society. And in that moment of healing, can you even fathom what that would be like? I think that's hard for most of us to truly understand that. The closest thing I've ever experienced to that is I went to Romania 3 summers in a row. And what just was so powerful in Romania is we would take doctors and nurses with us. And people would line up for miles so they could meet with a doctor. We saw things that were just really just hard to imagine. We saw a guy who broke his leg like 3 years before he saw the doctor. And he, literally from his knee down to his foot, that part of his leg was bigger than his thigh. And I won't even gross you out to tell you what it looked like. And that guy gets to see a doctor, and he, for the first time ever, he gets something to help alleviate the pain. And but the most miraculous thing that I saw, and we saw so many incredible things, and I cried about what I saw for days. One, because of how simple that it was. Two, because right here in our congregation, what was done for this one person, we could do. Right here in this congregation, we could do for an entire country. And here's what it was. We took an eye doctor with us. And that eye doctor came with a box of glasses that were different prescriptions. And they brought somebody to the eye doctor and they all said, you know, this person's blind. Is there anything you can do? And this person was like in their mid-40s. They had children, had, you know, had a family and everything. And I was standing there in the moment when the doctor did the eye test. And he reaches and he's looking down in a box and he's looking at all these different glasses. And he pulls out these just really thick glasses. And he puts them on the person. And you guys, that person could see for the first time in their lives. And you know what was so powerful about it? How long am I going to be able to tell it? Standing right behind that man were his children that he had never seen in his life. And he turns to them and he just starts kissing them and hugging them and saying all these things. And I asked the interpreter, what's he saying? And he was telling his children, you are so beautiful. And it was like living in the New Testament when the blind would receive sight. And it was a pair of glasses, you all. It was a pair of glasses. And I wonder how many people over there in those conditions are, you know, for the most part blind, not because they can't see, but because they don't have a pair of glasses. And it was so powerful. And this story reminds me of that. That these lepers, their lives are changed forever. Everything they were ever accustomed to and used to, Jesus changed in a word. And they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Now we take it from the way it's written that the other nine were Jews. Because even though the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other, if you had leprosy, you were brothers. You didn't have anything else except the other lepers. And this is a foreshadowing of what's going to happen. That the Jews are going to reject Jesus, and the gospel is going to be taken to the Gentiles. And that's you and me. And so out of their rejection comes this incredible invitation. Now God had always planned this. This was going to be the deal. That even these nine Jews didn't come back, but the Samaritan came back and he thanked God. The Bible goes on to say, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now this is a powerful story coming out of this gospel. That Jesus has done this miraculous thing in their lives. And so when I read the story, I start having some human emotion rising up in me. Yeah, where are the other nine? Punks. Wherever they're at, God, just give them leprosy again. You know, like they're having a big party and like, oh my arm's falling off, you know? If I'm God, that's what I'm doing. How many of you are glad I'm not God? How many of you are glad you're not God? Yeah, no applause, please. Just raise your hand. Where are they? I mean, we're talking 20, 30, 40 years of affliction and they can't give 5 minutes to come back. And granted, I started thinking about it. I started thinking about the other nine and I started thinking, what if I were one of them? And I hadn't seen my family, hadn't been around them forever and ever, and I get healed. I mean, I get one first thing on my list is I am going home. I want to see my family. Is that a bad thing? This will be interactive tonight. Is that a bad thing? Number two, I'm going to a public buffet. I haven't ever been able to go, and now I can go, and I don't need a table. I'm just going to pull a chair up to the sneeze guard and eat. I mean, the point is, I got things I'm going to do that I haven't been able to do. But this one leper, the Samaritan, the first thing on his list is to go back to the rabbi, to go back to Jesus, and to say thank you. Thank you. Then I started thinking, I have so much to be thankful for. And I have a list of things I'm not happy about. But I have so much more to be thankful for. That God has done so much. He's been so good. And the things I have, you know, I always love when I ask somebody, hey, how you doing? And the real common response is better than I deserve. That's all of us. If you're breathing, you're doing better than you deserve. And I'm not trying to get you all down, because this isn't about how bad we are. This is how incredible God is. And this one Samaritan leper comes back and he finds Jesus. And he says, before his family, before all the things he wants to do, he comes back and he says, thank you. Because he was remembering the source of his healing. And what he found was that the source of his healing was also the source of his life, the source of his purpose. And it's a powerful thing. And he comes back and he says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And he acknowledges the healing that Jesus has done. And more than that, he acknowledges the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that Jesus, I don't know how many of you thought this was interesting, but, you know, they cry out for Jesus to have pity on them. And Jesus could have said, all right, bam, you're healed. But he didn't do that. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And somehow, before the words were uttered, the healing had begun. And I don't know if it was for confirmation. You know, when the priest saw him coming, he probably thought, what are the lepers doing? Get them away from me. And then he looks and they've been healed. And the priest does the ritual cleansing to let them know, to confirm indeed that the leprosy's gone. And do you know that to this day, there's no cure for leprosy? To this day. And they're healed. And why didn't Jesus just speak the word? He said, go show yourself to the priest. I would think that it would take some faith to go show yourself to the priest. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, wow, I think I'm healed, so I'm just going to go back to the alley. But he sent him to the number one place that they weren't supposed to be at, to the temple, in the presence of the priest. And they went. Obviously, tonight, it's Ministry Wednesday. We're going to talk about serving
And actually, we're probably not even going to talk about it. I'm going to say like one line when I'm done about serving. And if I miss, somebody remind me, all right? Somebody remind me. I've got one line to say, Brent Cole, remind me, all right? So these lepers, they're healed. Their lives are changed forever. Now, let's be honest. When we really look at it in the grand scheme of things, we're no different than the lepers. We're no different. I mean, we were plagued with something that was ultimately going to be our demise. But because of the grace and mercy of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've invited Christ to come into your life, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin, then you're a follower of Jesus, and what was ultimately going to destroy you has been healed. That curse of sin that's on every human life, it's been healed. And I wonder how many of us have taken the time to come, because you know what it says specifically when this leper comes back? It says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. He threw himself. I was at this gigantic gathering called One Day. And there were like, I don't know, 36,000 college students out in this huge field. And in the middle of the worship set, these guys come down the aisle and they're carrying this like 20-foot cross. It was really just a powerful moment. I think they were even singing the Wonderful Cross. Oh, the wonder. Okay, that song, you know what I'm talking about. And they bring it and they set that cross down. And as soon as they set that cross in the ground, you could feel over 36,000 people that there was this desire to go and be at the foot of that cross. And I'm way in the back and I've got no hope of making it to the cross, but I'm just watching what's going to happen. And over 36,000 people and they're singing, you could hear some kind of disruption. And I'll never forget, because the way the field was, it kind of went back on a hill and we were on the hill. And you see this kid running and screaming down that aisle. And just as if there was one of those huge water slides, you know, that you get your kids, he just goes diving at that cross and just slides right into the bottom of it. And then he just embraces it. And it was really powerful, because that kid did what I was feeling inside that I wanted to do. I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to stand there with my hands in the air. I wanted to lay in front of that cross. Because it was one of those moments in your life when you are so overwhelmed by your thankfulness for what God has done that it just surpasses every other emotion that you're experiencing. And the Bible says that this one leper who comes back, he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. To me, that seems proper, doesn't it? I mean, after that you would throw yourself at the feet of Jesus in gratitude and thankfulness for all that He had done. The rest of the week in Romania, that person would come in with their new glasses. And I'm telling you, gosh, if I'd have been smart, I'd have had a video camera and I would have recorded that moment and then recorded that person the rest of the week, because everything was brand new. The first night after that we had church, they walked into the church they've been worshiping in for years and just looked around like, oh my gosh, this place is incredible. And the awe and the thankfulness, because you know who that eye doctor was? To that person, he was like Jesus that week. And every time that person came around us, he just would hug every one of us so tight because he was so thankful. And in that moment, in that field, I just felt such overwhelming gratitude and thankfulness for what God had done in my life. And listen, if I were to bare my soul, there are scars, there's been woundedness, all those things. And if you have those things, because I have them, let me just tell you, welcome to humanity. Welcome to life on the earth. You know what? People are going to screw you over. It's the planet. It's the way of people. And that's why this service to God is so incredible,
because somehow, even though it's the way of the world, we're supposed to live in the way of Jesus. And so every kind word and every kind action, you know what they really are? It's gratitude to God for what He's done. And so if you've ever helped somebody out of your own need or out of your own poverty, do you know what that is? That's gratitude and thankfulness to God for what He's done. Have you ever given time that you did not have? Well, when you do that, do you know what that is? That's gratitude and thankfulness to God for what He's done. And I want to ask us tonight to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus with gratitude, with thankfulness, and just to really, really embrace who He is. Can you do that? Think about that just for a second. No more crying kids. There we go. Gratitude and thankfulness to who God is, for what He's done. And so tonight, I want us to throw ourselves. I know I shouldn't have done that. I've just lost you for the night. Y'all were like, he's going to get a cross or something. This is going to be so powerful. But no, I was just going to shut up the children. But okay. You have a card that you were handed tonight. And Brent, here comes the line. Do you know what it is when you serve? It's gratitude and thankfulness to God for who He is. That's what it is. It's gratitude and thankfulness. God, You've given me this life, and I'm going to give it back to You. Here it is, God. Take it. Take it, God. Whatever You want to do with it, here it is. So we got a team in Costa Rica. I promise you this. There's going to be another trip to Costa Rica. There'll be another one. There'll probably be some trips to some other places. Maybe we'll go back to Romania. Maybe you could go and experience that. Or maybe we'll just go someplace else. Maybe God just wants you to be here a little early on Sundays and greet people as they come in. Or maybe a little early on Wednesdays and greet people as they come in. You know what that is? Gratitude and thankfulness to God. You know, we've got a gazillion preschoolers and children in this church. I told them Sunday morning, as a parent of a fairly significant percentage of our preschool and children's ministry, I pray you'd have a heart for preschool and children. And if you serve and love those preschoolers and children, you know what you're doing? You're having gratitude and thankfulness to God for who He is, or whatever way that God wants you to serve. So I want you to take that card out. Let me tell you, if you were here Sunday morning, you don't have to fill the card out again. We got it. It's all good. But I want you to fill it out tonight and then just keep it so everybody else will be more encouraged to fill theirs out, because everybody else will be filling it out. You can't fake me out and say, oh, I don't think I did it Sunday. So I want you to take that card out. I want you to put your name, your telephone number, your email address. They're going to put something up here on the screen, prettier than that. And you can kind of look through there. That's not an exhaustive list of the ministries at this church. Sunday morning, we got right around 500 cards turned into us of people saying, I want to serve, I want to be a part. So that's great. Don't think because we got 500 that nobody else matters. We wouldn't do this on Wednesday night if we got it taken care of Sunday morning. But you can look through that list, and if there's something that jumps out to you, write it down on the bottom of your card. If nothing jumps out to you and you've connected to one of the pastors here, write that pastor's name down. If neither of those things are true, leave it blank, but just give us your name, your phone number, and your email address. And if you turn in that card tonight, here's what you're saying. I am willing to serve. I don't have any idea where, but I am willing. And somebody will get a hold of you. All right? Give us a couple weeks to get those names together and all that. But I want to encourage you to do this tonight. And here's what you can do. When you leave tonight, just leave your card on your chair. And we'll get those. Just leave it on the chair and
Somebody will come through and we'll get those cards, but fill those out. But tonight, I want us to have a time of altar tonight. You guys can come. And you know what? Tonight, let's throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Let's be thankful and grateful for what He's done. Let's not be like the other nine. Where are they? I don't know. They're busy. They got a lot going on. There's a lot that's important to them. They're important people. I don't know what their issues were. But they didn't say thanks. And I think Jesus wanted to point out that He was pleased with the one who came back to say thanks. Now, we know from the text, He didn't undo the healing of the other nine. But I'm willing to bet that if you could go back and do a synopsis or a summary of the lives of those 10 former lepers, you're going to see some phenomenal things in the life of the one who came back and said thanks. So if you're here tonight, and maybe you don't even have a relationship with Jesus, can I tell you, that's really why we met tonight, was for you. So that tonight you would give your life to Christ. We've seen baptism. We've seen a lot of baptisms in the last 6 months. And maybe you're one of those who've just been putting that off. You know what it is when we're obedient to God and doing what He says? It's having a grateful heart. It's being thankful. And then there's just a lot of us, I think, tonight, that it would just be kind of a powerful cleansing moment to come to this altar just to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, because You've been so good to me. So I want you to pray with me. And then when I'm done praying, don't wait for anything. Just come to the altar tonight. Father, we love You. And Lord, if we made lists of all the things You've done for us, I dare say that we probably would have forgotten so many of the things You've done for us. So I pray tonight, Lord, right here in this place, that You would overwhelm us with gratefulness because of the blessings that You've poured on us. I pray You'd put within us a burden to be obedient to You. And I pray that we would serve so that You would be glorified. And serving would be our way to say, Lord Jesus, thank You. And so tonight, may we throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We love You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. The altar is open. You come.